good to see each of you this morning. If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, we're going to read a few verses together there in chapter 20. Back in November, I presented a lesson in regard to teaching our children the value of honesty. And this morning, we're going to continue the theme of teaching our children. And we're going to begin with this text, as ultimately, both this morning and this afternoon, we are going to be looking at the importance of respect and honor that we need to teach our children and that we ourselves need to practice. So I hope it'll be beneficial to those who are indeed children, to those who are parenting their children, and even to grandparents and those who do not have children, the understanding and value of respect within our lives. I'll be reading from the New King James, beginning in Proverbs 27 through 30. And beginning in Proverbs 20, 27 through 30. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Mercy and truth preserve the king. And by loving kindness, he upholds his throne. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Vows that hurt cleanse away evil. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil. So do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Within the passage, the writer of Proverbs is reminding us of the fact that there are differences in ages and that there are responsibilities that we have. And so this morning, as we look at the issue of teaching our children the value of respect, what we want to be able to do is present them as individuals who honor and respect those around them. And what we need to do is make sure that we as adults are honoring and showing respect at proper times as we deal with one another. You've probably heard of various tests that have been given with regard to the question of the attitude that children take on in school. Supposedly there was a test that was given where the teachers of the new group coming in were told the opposite of what the children who were coming in were really doing as far as their whole ability. And as the teachers received them with that knowledge of what had been expected of them before, they found that in most cases those children did better because the teacher had a better understanding of them, though missing perhaps, a better understanding of what they might achieve. And they called upon those young children to achieve that which they had not achieved in the past. And the same was true in other tests that have been taken. When we expect something from somebody, they're more apt to rise to the occasion. And the same is true when we talk about our children and the idea of showing respect and honor to both us as parents and to the people around us. If we find individuals, especially among the youngest of children, who at even a very young age begin to show a lack of respect, if it's not corrected, that lack of respect will be part of who they are. I would imagine there have been times in your life when you've come across people who have had children express very disrespectful things in public places. And the parents are baffled about what to do because they have had the children show this disrespect in front of you at the grocery store or other places. Let me say this. It's happened to me. But let me also say that it happens less when we begin at home to instill within our children the importance of respect. So that it should be that we are raised with an attitude of respect to others, including our parents, that will indeed begin at age 1 and go to age 6 and go into the teen years and even into our later life, we still have the respect that God expects of us for our parents. It's important that we don't allow ourselves to be disrespectful. I hope that none of our young people have ever said this, but I would imagine most of us have been in some type of environment where some young person has just yelled at their mother, "What's your problem?" Maybe even some of us here, in the privacy of our home, while confronting our child, the child has responded in a disrespectful tone and disrespectful way by saying, "What's your problem, Mom? What's your problem, Dad?" I'll tell you this right now. The problem, first and foremost, is in the child that is speaking disrespectfully to their parents. And I understand that it begins sometimes, not in the very young years, but as they come into their teen years, as they're trying to figure out who they are as a person. It wasn't that long ago that I was a teenager. And I could don't smile when I say that. And Heather, don't laugh. I was trying to figure out who I was. See, people that might hear this on the internet have no idea that I'm 66. But I was trying to figure out who I was. They're trying to figure out who they are. But as you're trying to figure it out, God still demands that I have respect for my parents. God still demands that I have respect for others around me. And so we need to understand the importance of respect. Honor, as it's called in some of the passages we'll be looking at today, both this morning and in the afternoon service. Let me give you just a couple of definitions that I came across so that we can understand what we're talking about when we talk about the idea of respect, when we talk about the idea of honor. It is to feel or show deferential regard for. Now, there are times when you can use it as a noun, there are times when you can use it as a verb, but what I found in each instance is that idea of the deferential. And by deferential, it is the sense of backing off and giving respect to and preference to that other individual. That's why it's so important that we as parents and we as grandparents reinforce what our children are doing with their children in teaching them the deferential attitude toward those who are older. So that's what we're talking about as we look at this word and the meaning of it and understanding what is intended within the scriptures on this matter. I think it's important that we recognize that we have a responsibility at all ages to show deference to those that we're dealing with. And while this lesson is primarily to parents as they're instructing and molding their children, both as 1 and 2 and 3 year olds, and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 year olds, it's also a lesson for we who are older to remember our responsibility of having a sense of deference to one another. This morning we're going to look at a number of passages. We're going to talk about that. And as we who may not be children being raised, or who may not be the parents actively raising children at this time, if we'll remember these lessons of honor and respect, then conflicts that might arise will be less apt to arise. Because when you get a group of people together whose desire is to serve God, there are going to be times when we have a fervent desire to serve God and belief in this particular passage or that particular passage being what God means to say. And here's another brother or sister who takes that same passage and they have the same fervent desire that this is what God's Word says, and it isn't what that other person says, God's Word says. I think there's a misunderstanding on his part. I think there's a misunderstanding on his part. As we approach those issues, if we have been trained by our parents, and even if we've not been trained by our parents, we come to understand God's Word that says, I'm going to honor that person who disagrees with me on the understanding of that passage as we work together to ultimately come to that understanding of what the passage is. And what we might find as man number one and man number two are dealing with that passage, when they end up studying it, they realize that maybe neither one was right and there was a better understanding out there. But we show deference to one another. We show the honor and respect to one another. What does the Bible say about this matter of honor? We're going to read some scriptures and have a few comments about them as we read them. And then we're going to get into more detail toward the close of the lesson. And quite frankly, we'll close during the middle of a series of thoughts and pick them up this afternoon as we continue on during the course of this morning's lesson and this afternoon's lesson. Over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 17. Peter's not talking to parents here specifically. But as you heard me say a number of times, there are a lot of passages that we read and say, sure enough, that's applicable to me over in that situation over there. When in fact, it's applicable to me in all situations, to me as a parent, as I'm parenting my child, to me as a Christian, as I'm interacting with other Christians, to me as a husband, as I interact with my spouse and my spouse toward me. This is one of those passages that while in and of itself it's not about parenting, it sets the framework within which we are raising our children with the right attitude. When Peter says, honor all men, all people, in the New King James. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the authorities, that is, the king. Twice in this short passage, he introduces us to the idea of honor. And it is that idea of giving a deference to others. Peter makes the point. Paul's going to make the point also over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now, we're talking about parenting, but here we get to the children. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. Children have a responsibility, no matter what their age is, to learn to have deference to your parents. Even at times when you're absolutely positive they're not as smart as you, you still have to have deference toward your parents. It's probably what you're going to find out within a few years in life. They were as smart, if not smarter than you on that. Anytime we have conflict, and especially within the parent-child relationship, it begins, the responsibility is with you who are the children. It is your responsibility to give deference to your parents. And as I said in the introduction, I don't believe that stops once you leave the house. I still have the responsibility to give deference to my mother. My father passed away in 2005. But even up to that point, the day before his 84th birthday, I had the responsibility of giving deference to him. And I pray God that I did. And I pray God that I still do to my mother during her lucid times, which aren't many. But nonetheless, it doesn't go away as we get older. And parents of younger people, younger children, if you're not teaching them in those early years the idea of deference, and they don't understand that word, but you know how to instill within them the idea that you give respect to what I'm saying. I'm the parent. You're not. That's a concept that is really difficult to understand at certain stages of a child's life. But we as parents are not to give up on the fact that it is our responsibility to instill within them this sense of honor. Going back to Peter again, to something that isn't a parent-child thing. But the principle is laid out here, and I think it's a good principle to remember for us as spouses as well, and carry it over to the children. As he says there in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 6 and 7, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid of any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. As to the weaker vessel is not an insult. As to the weaker vessel is the acknowledgement of the differences God created between the woman and the man, and those differences are differences that are to be honored. Especially in this particular passage, a reminder to us as husbands. So if we don't teach our children at that young age, as they go through into the teen years and into adulthood, if they're not taught that sense of honor, then they'll not have that sense when they find a boy or a girl that they've decided they want to spend the rest of their life with. They won't have that sense of honor about them. Why it's so important that not only do we teach that idea of the honesty that we talked about in November, but we teach also that sense of giving deference to those around us, and parents demanding it of their children, husbands, wives demand it of their husbands, and husbands show it to their wives. Just in that area alone, we set for our children the example of what we try to teach them in words. As they see us as loving husbands, show honor to our spouse. He goes on and says, as the weaker vessel and his being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If we as husbands aren't treating our wives right, God says it messes up our spiritual lives. Young men, when you find a young lady that you want to marry, you had better be ready to give her honor. Deference. Not just during the honeymoon in the first year or two, but at that 50th and 60th anniversary, still showing the love and honor. And if the Lord wills, you'll be able to look at your parents, maybe not at your 50th anniversary, but in your early years, you'll be able to look at your parents and remember the example of honor your father gave. Gentlemen, that's a great responsibility we are carrying as we want these young men who aren't yet at the age of a teen, we want those young men to one day look to us as a couple where the father is showing deference to his wife. To we who are grandparents, we want our grandchildren who are entering marriage to be able to look at Grandma and Grandpa, Papa and Nene, Gigi and whomever, whatever nickname he got his grandparents. They'd better be able to look at us men and showing that honor to our wives. Paul told the Romans in the 12th chapter, here we go, this is one of those passages. Oh, let's apply it out there. Well, let's apply it at home. Let's apply it in our parents. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference. Now, there are times when there are established rules. There are times when there are established roles. R-O-L-E-S. That I must do what they bid me to do, but I do it with that sense of deference and respect. And since we're talking about parenting, we're going to talk about the young people. There are going to be times your parents will tell you there's something you're to do, and the reason for it is because I said so. And that's why you're going to do it. But Mother, I don't understand exactly why. I have to be able to understand it. I have to comprehend it. I have to analyze it. And I have to determine whether or not, Mother, you have really asked me to do something that I should be doing. If she's not asking you something that violates the Word of God, process that all you want while you're doing what Mother said to do. There may come a time later that I suspect you'll have understood while you were thinking it through, but being obedient, you'll know why Mother asked it of you, why Dad asked it of you. But it began the fact that you were showing deference to your parents and you were going to do what they commanded. And here's the passage in Romans. You've already read it. It is on. Already read it, but Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another. I read that already too. In brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Let's get over to 1 Timothy, 6th chapter, verse 1. 6th chapter, verse 1 says, 1 Timothy, that as many bondservants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And I think it is correct to look at this passage in modern days to recognize that we don't have the slave-master relationship in this country. But we do have employer-employee relationship. And I do recognize that there is some flexibility. If I can't give deference because of the behavior and the demands of that employer, and they violate the Word of God, I get out of that environment. But as long as I'm in that environment, God says my responsibility is to show that deference, that respect, that honor. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the Word and doctrine. This idea of double honor has within it, though we don't quite catch it within our typical reading of the passage, but as the original language in this particular passage talks about, there is the deference that we show those who serve as elders. And while we don't have elders right now, I would pray one day soon we would have those men. It will be our responsibility to give deference to those men. And there may be some of those men who, because of our financial abilities and their time situation, they would actually be paid from the treasury, just as I'm paid from the treasury. But they would be worthy of the deference given as one of the elders, and the double honor, they would be worthy of being supported from the treasury. But it's the idea of honor. So, I think the young people already see this, and I know we who are older see it. The ones who are very young may not see it. But mothers and fathers, it's your responsibility to instill that sense of honor and deference to others, because it's going to be invaluable in their worship to God and service to God throughout their lives. In the first chapter of that book, in verse 17, "Now to the King immortal, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." We begin with that honor that is to God. Parents, instill that within your children. And I recognize that there will be, and there have been, children who, for whatever reason, will not accept the responsibility of honoring it. Though they have heard it, though they have seen it in the churches that they've been a part of, though they've seen it within their parents, for some reason that sense of honor does not sink in. We as parents, make sure that we have put forth the effort, because ultimately responsibility is going to fall on each individual. Clear back in Leviticus in the 19th chapter, it says in verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord." From time to time, we who are older will make jokes about being older, the lack of hair, or the grayness of our hair. And that's done in a good natured sense, and I have no problem with it. If it's wrong, I pray God forgive me, because I'm willing to be a participant in some of that humor. Setting that humor aside, each one of us needs to make sure that we have a respect for those who are old. I am delighted and feel blessed to be a part of a congregation that has a wide spectrum of age within it. Because what we see within this congregation is the opportunity for young people to show me honor and respect, to show my wife and others our age honor and respect. For the parents of those children to show in front of their children the people of my age honor and respect. And then there are men and women who are a half generation or a whole generation older than me. And it gives my wife and I the opportunity to show deference to you in honoring and respecting. And I pray to God that we do that as we interact with you, because you stand before us as men and women who are worthy of that honor. And if I have looked at any person who feels that you're my age and younger, and I talk as if I'm talking of you being older, oh, forgive me. I'm trying to look at a number of people here who are older, again, that generation or so older. I pray to God that I'll always give you honor and respect and deference, even if at times we might disagree. I pray, God, that I'll never fail to show you that deference, because of your gray hair in this biblical sentence. Responsibility of teaching our children honor and respect. Children must be taught honor and respect. The Lord willing, we'll continue with that thought this evening, this afternoon, 5 o'clock. But in doing so, we are going to be talking about a half dozen things that are involved in this idea of children being taught honor and respect. We're going to talk about learning the value of respect, and we're going to end by talking about parents bringing their children up in that sense of learning, honoring, respect. I hope the lesson has profited each one of us, and that we will remind ourselves of that responsibility of all. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. The purpose for that song is to give those who are in the audience a moment to reflect upon where they stand in their relationship with God. And if they stand outside the light, then we would encourage you to put to death that old person of man or woman that is in servitude to Satan. Turn away and correct and confess Christ as the Son of God and die with Him in baptism to rise and be saved. If you need to do that, we would be delighted to witness it and rejoice with the angels in heaven. But if you're a child of God that needs our prayers about some matter, and it may not be some sin that is weighing on your heart that you've already taken to God, it may be that, and you want our prayers as well. It may be simply some matter that you desire to pray with you. By all means, we give this as an opportunity as well, as we stand together and sing the song.